away. It could have been all songs in the street. It was nearly complete, it was nearly so sweet. And now I'm singing three lines on the shirt. Joe's roommate still gleaming. No more years of hurt. No more need for dreaming.
Talk about football coming home. And then one night in Rome, we were strong, we had grown. And now I see it's ready for war. Guys are good as before. Shearer certain to score. And Psycho screaming
three lines on his shirt. Jules Rimet still gleaming. No more years of hurt. No more need for dreaming.
Beautiful football by England. Gaza!
It's 7 o'clock, it's Thursday night. It can only mean one thing. We're back again for the next 2.5 hours for what we put on Twitter as being a bit of a mega show tonight. But we're under the under pressure today because the big boss is in the studio, so we've got to be careful what we do today. No messing about, Ray, okay?
Yeah, okay.
So, of course, at 7:30 tonight, we have got Tony Gow will be with us at 7:30. And at 9 o'clock tonight, we will have the one and only Mr. Matt Letizier making his return to the show to have a chat with us again about 9 o'clock tonight. But first of all, we'll go through all the scores as we normally do for the games that have been played since we were last with you. And we'll start then from Saturday. And from the Ryman Prem, it was AFC Hornchurch, Neil Wingate and Finchley 1. Bognor Regis Town 1, Bury Town 1. Canby Island 1, Maidstone United 2. Dulwich Hamlet 2, Billericay Town 1. Enfield Town 1, Hendon 0. Harrow Borough 2, East Thurrock United 4. Kingstonian 1, Tonbridge Angels 0. Leatherhead 1, Metropolitan Police 1. Lewis 0, Hampton Richmond Borough 0. Peacehaven and Telscombe 2, Grays Athletic 5. Whittam Town 1, VCD 1. In the Ryman North, the game between Averley and Redbridge was off. But it's Barkingside 1, Wroxham 2. Brentwood and Needham went the same way as well. Chatham 1, Ware 1. Chesant 0, AFC Sudbury 1. Dereham Town 4, Heybridge Swifts 2. Great Wakering Rovers 2, Thurrock 2. Harlow Town 4, Burnham Ramblers 2. Morden Triptree 3, Craze Wanderers 1. Romford 2, Brighton Sea Regent 2. And Thamesmead Town 2, Tilbury 1. In the Ryman South, Carshalton Athletic 0, Horsham 1. Chipstead 2, Tooting and Mitcham United 2. Faversham Town 3, Three Bridges 0. Folkestone and Victor 2, Winstable Town 3. Guernsey 3, Corinthian Casuals 0. Hastings United 1, East Grinstead Town 2. Ramsgate 3, Hive Town 3. Redhill 1, Worthing 2. Wharton Casuals 0, Mersham 2. Whiteleaf 1, Walton and Hersham 1. And in the FA Trophy, it finished Burgessill Town 1, Dartford 2. And I think it was a goal in about the last 4 or 5 minutes, wasn't it, the game that they lost that one to. And we'll then move forward then to Tuesday night. In the Ryman Prem, it was Dulwich Hamlet 1, Leiston 2. East Thurrock 4, Peacehaven and Telscombe 0. The game between Brentwood Town and Heybridge was postponed, and the same in the south between Three Bridges and Ramsgate. In the Robert Dice League Cup, round 3, it was Walton Hersham 1, Kingstonian 1, and Kingstonian 1, 2-1 on penalties. Then we move forward then to Wednesday night, and it was in the south, it was Walton Casuals 2, South Park 1, Worthing 2, East Grinstead Town 0. The Vets Cup game was called off between Burgess Hill and Herne Bay. The London Cup game between Craig Valley and Wingate and Finchley was also postponed. And in the Surrey County Cup round 3, it was Metropolitan Police 3, Chipstead 0. There's one game tonight in the Rum Women's Cup, hopefully, shall we say. Charlton Athletic versus Carshalton Athletic. Quick look at the tables and where everybody stands. Just a quick look then. So in the Rum and Prem, the top of the shot is Maidstone United, play 26 with 59 points. Margate have played 28 with 59. Dulwich Hamlet have played 28 with 55. Hendon have played 27 with 51. East Thurrock United have played 28 with 48. Met Police have played 26 with 47. And Leeston have played 27 with 46. At the bottom, it's Bury Town have played 30 with 21. Harrow Borough have played 29 with 25. AFC Hornchurch have played 28 with 25. VCD Athletic have played 28 with 26. And Whittam have played 25 with 27. In the Rama North, top is Harlow Town, played 30 with 70. Then it's Needham Market, played 27 with 64. Then Wroxham played 29 with 54. Brentwood Town have played 26 with 53. AFC Sudbury have played 28 with 48. AFC Sudbury have played 28 with 48. And Averley have played 29 with 48. With Dereham playing only 26 with 47. At the bottom, it's Burnham Ramblers, played 28 with 13. Cray Wanderers have played 27 with 17. Barkingside have played 24 with 22. Redbridge have played 27 with 28. Heybridge Swiss, 27 with 28. Chatham Town have played 29 with 29 points. In the Ryman South, at the top, is Burgess Hill Town, still going, 25 with 65. Faversham Town, 29 with 65. Mersham, 29 with 60. Folkestone and Victor, 29 with 58. Worthing, 30 with 49. And Whiteleaf, 29 with 46. And at the bottom is Horsham have played 26 with 20. Redhill have played 25 with 22. Ramsgate have played 27 with 25. Walton Casuals have played 28 with 28. And Hive Town have played 29 with 30. We'll look at our goal scorers. And in the Rama Prem, it's David Knight has got 19 for Wingate and Finchley. Leon Smith has got 17 for Hendon. Sam Higgins, 4 in the last week for East Thurrock, is now up to 17. Ryan Moss, 16 for Margate. Frederick Lapio has got 14 for Grays Athletic. Kieran Hughes-Mason has got 13 for Leatherhead. Charlie Allen has got 12 for Margate. Gareth Heath has got 12 for Leeston. Oliver Pearce has got 12 for Bognor Regis. And then on 11, we've got Alex Filsher, Charlie Moon and Franny Collin for Maidstone and Hampton and Richmond Borough. Billy Metlock, Pilio Gomez-Pico has got 10 for Kingstonian, and Renal or Ricky Stapleton from 10 for Billericay Town. That's probably easier than the first name. In the Ryman North, it's Alex Reed has got 28 for Harlow Town. Christy Finch, 23 for Wroxham. Kieran Bishop has got 18 for Ware. Remy Gordon has got 15 for Wroxham. Jason Hallett and Luke Stanley and Ross Wall have all got 14 for Waltham Abbey, Soham and Thurrock. And Sam Newson also 14 for Needham Market. Tyrus Gordon-Young's got 13 for Thamesmead Town. Adam Bowley, Charlie Stimson and Neil Richmond and Ryan Hawkins have got 12 for Cheshunt, Thurrock, Heybridge and Dereham Town. Albert Abdu has got 11 for Ware and Cliff Ackeran has got 11 for Morden Triptree, now Heybridge Swifts. Ryman South, it's Chris Smith, 21 for South Park. Ian Draycott's got 18 for Folkestone and Victor. Stuart King, 18 for Herne Bay. Daniel Summers has got 17 for Tooting Mitchin United. Ian Pullman, 17 for Winstable Town. Roscoe DeSand's got 15 for Whiteleaf. Mark McGrath has got 14 for Guernsey. Paul Booth, 14 for Folkestone and Victor. Tommy Hutchins, 14 for Mersham. And then on 13, we've got Jack Harris, Wayne Wilson and Daniel from Faversham Town. And on 12, we've got Daniel Moody, Greg Lure, Jamie Bright and Rob O'Toole has got 12 for Chipstead, Burgess Hill Town, Corinthian Casuals and Burgess Hill Town as well. We then look forward to what's coming up at the weekend. And in the Ryman Prem at the weekend, We can get the computer to stay still. There we go. In the Rama Premier at the weekend, we've got Billericay Town versus Leatherhead, Bury Town versus Kingstonian, East Thurrock United versus Leeston, Grays Athletic versus Lewis, Hampton Richmond Borough versus Harrowborough, Hendon versus Canvey Island, Maidstone United versus AFC Hornchurch, Margate versus Dulwich Hamlet, Metropolitan Police versus Peacehaven and Telscombe, Tonbridge Angels versus Enfield Town, VCD versus Bognor Regis Town, Wingate and Finchley versus Witham. In the Rama North, it's AFC Sudbury versus Maldon and Triptree, Brighton Sea Regent versus Waltham Abbey, Burnham Ramblers versus Dereham Town, Cray Wanderers versus Great Wakering Rovers, Heybridge Swifts versus Averley, Needham Market to play Thamesmead Town, Redbridge to play Chatham, Somtown Rangers against Harlow Town, Thurrock versus Cheshunt, Tilbury versus Romford, Ware versus Barkingside, and Wroxham versus Brentwood Town. In the Rama South, it's Walton Hersham versus Guernsey, Corinthian Casuals versus Redhill, East Grinstead Town versus Burgess Hill Town, Horsham versus Herne Bay, Hive Town versus Carshalton Athletic, Mersham versus Folkestone and Victor, Sittingbourne versus Walton Casuals, South Park versus Faversham, Three Bridges versus Chipstead, Tooting and Mitcham United versus Ramsgate, Winstable Town versus Whiteleaf, and Worthing versus Hastings. And then on the Monday night, it's Barking versus Tilbury in the Rama North. In the Rama South, it's Hastings United versus Ramsgate. And in the Essex County Cup, it's Averley versus Thurrock and Billericay Town versus Brighton and Sea Regent. On Tuesday, it's in the Prem, it's East Thurrock United versus Kingstonian, Enfield Town versus Canvey Island, Hampton Richmond Borough versus Maidstone United. In the Rama North, it's Brentwood Town versus Dereham Town, Burnham Ramblers versus Waltham Abbey. And in the Rama South, it's Chipstead versus Worthing, South Park versus Walton and Hersham, Three Bridges versus Tooting and Mitcham United. In the Robert Dice League Cup, it's Cheshunt versus Grays Athletic, Margate versus Burgess Hill Town, and Witham versus AFC Sudbury. Essex County Cup, it's Redbridge versus AFC Hornchurch. Middlesex County Cup, North Greenwood United versus Harrow Borough. And in the Norfolk County Cup, it's Wroxham versus Skull United. On Wednesday, we have got in the Rama South, Horsham versus East Grinstead, Walton Casuals versus Herne Bay. The Vets Cup semi-final, it's Kingstonian versus Middlesex Wanderers. And in the Sussex County Cup, it's Lewis versus Eastbourne. So they're the games to get yourself out to at the weekend. But so introducing all of our super guests in the studio today, we've got, I suppose we start off with, go round from my right to my left, if that's all right, everybody. We go from right to left, and we've got the line dancing champion of Essex in the studio, Mr. Ray Dyer. He's with us tonight as well. And then, of course, it's we're all on best behaviour because the Vice Chairman of the League, Mr. Nick Robinson, is in with us as well. Welcome, Nick.
Evening.
And, of course, the font of all knowledge, as everybody keeps telling me, and definitely still the font of all knowledge, Dan Wilson's in with us as well. Hi,
Thank
Dan.
Thank you very much, David. Thanks for the nice words and Happy New Year to everybody.
So, then, I know what game you'll be at on Saturday, but what game is everybody else going to be at on Saturday?
Well, I'm going to be at Corinthian Casuals and Red Hill.
I'm not actually at a Ryman League game on Saturday, so count me out.
So where are you going, Dan?
I'm over at High Wycombe Way for Flackhall Heath against Holbridge Sports in the FA Bars, a nice little competition. And that's the road to Wembley, so we've had all the sides go out to the FA Trophy last weekend with Burgess Hill bowing out. So no more Ryman interest as far as Wembley's concerned this season, but there's still a few good competitions still going, and you know, the Bars is always a nice interest for the lower league teams, the Essex Senior League clubs, etc. So, yeah, plenty at stake there.
Oh, definitely. But Dan, if you just lift up your second mic, the one furthest away from you,
we'll be able to... That's it.
It's always the one furthest away from you, unfortunately, yeah.
All good now?
There we go, mate. We're laughing. We've had one question come in, and it's one question I wanted to get in and out of the way very quickly, because it's a question that came up when we interviewed somebody some time ago, Nick, and it's probably one of those questions where you're going to say no comment, but someone's asked me, so I've got to, you know, I thought, so well, I'll put it out there, because it's one of the ones, do I, don't I. We had somebody from Carshalton on not so long ago, and basically during the show, my phone just went through Twitter, just went absolutely bonkers about, and I don't even know if you know, even know about it, it was certain fans that have been banned from the club and not allowed to go to any of the games.
Yeah.
And they said to see if Nick had anything to say on the situation whatsoever, and could I ask that question? So I've asked that question.
Okay, well, I think that what we have to remember is that every club determines who comes in and out of their ground. So if the club here, Harlow Town, find a disaffected supporter who talks against them and is likely to cause a problem within the ground, they will take action to try and avoid any trouble within their ground, because the Football Association will take action against that home club. Every club is responsible for everybody that they let into the ground. So I think from that point of view, Carshalton Athletic are entitled to take those steps if they deem that right. And it's not for me or anybody else to say whether it's right or not. Those people have to take that up with the club themselves.
And that's exactly what the line that I said to them when they asked me the same question. I think they think I know everything, but I don't. I don't know nothing. I'm just sitting there doing the show. But there we go. But one of the other questions as well, I suppose, for me is, how exciting is especially the North League this year and the Premier? I mean, it just seems to be, one week it's one team on the top of the table, the next week it's somebody else on the top of the table, and it just seems to be a real sort of dogfight. And then we go to the South Division, and it just looks like Burgess Hill will never lose.
No, well, I was. That they will lose.
Jinx them
now.
I said we jinxed them.
You're in trouble, David.
Yeah. Well, I saw them down at Worthing a few weeks ago, and then I saw them last Saturday. I was there for the trophy match, and they were just so unlucky. They really were. I mean, 89th minute, and they've been pushing. I've got to say, the Dartford keeper made two superb saves during the match that Burgess Hill could have won the game. And the Dartford officials were absolutely superb. They really were. They came into the boardroom afterwards and said, look, we're very embarrassed. You should be coming back for another bite at this. Burgess Hill are a very fine side. They really are. I don't think that's taken anything away from the South Division. I think, you know, it's still very good. Everybody still, you know, actually, what it does is to make Burgess Hill the team to beat.
Yeah.
So they've got another 20-odd cup ties to go, because everybody wants to be the first to beat them.
Yeah, you're top of the league, you'll let it be shot down, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, I don't think it's not a dead division by any stretch of the imagination.
And it's, as you say, we've had them on the show. Really, really lovely people as well when they come on the show. They're not, sort of, as you said, they're not turning around saying we've won it already or anything like that whatsoever. It's, you know, it's that type of thing that we had, didn't we, I suppose, as well, where everybody wanted to come over here and everybody wanted to be the first person to finally get to beat you. And I suppose it must be, you know, like that every game, as you said, like an absolute cup final every single game they go out to play.
I think, you know, what was great for Burgess Hill last year, last week they had over 1,000 there. They've had really good support from the local spectators. They had over 500 at the Christmas fixture. And, you know, it's just so nice to see the local area supporting them and getting the attendances up.
Because, I mean, I suppose, the attendances as well, I've been noticing this year, I mean, quite a lot of the games, the actual attendance has been going probably in the right direction to where everybody wants it to go.
Yeah. We've just had the attendance figures to the end of December. I've probably got it here somewhere. But certainly we're seeing week on week gradually increases for a lot of clubs. And, you know, that's great. I mean, if you look at Dulwich Hamlet, I think they're the club that has increased the most. And they've now had, on Saturdays, three consecutive Saturdays with four-figure crowds. And their season-on-season increase is just phenomenal.
They got nearly 3,000 as well, Nick, earlier in the season, didn't they?
They did. That was on Kick It Out. Yeah, Kick It Out Day, non-league day. You know, it was absolutely magnificent.
I mean, you go around the ground yourself, Dan. You've seen, you know, you're out every day. I mean, when you go around to the Ryman Games, almost, yeah. But when you go around to the Ryman Games, I mean, you must be seeing the difference between, you know, previous years to, you know, to this year with the amount of people coming in through the gate.
Yes and no, really. I mean, you know, the midweek games are always going to be a bit less, usually, generally, unless it's a particular game of particular interest. But yeah, certainly in terms of Harlow games, there's been a lot more away support this season. I think the numbers of following Harlow home and away from home have also picked up, as well as the crowds here continuing to gather momentum. But yeah, I think you know, overall attendances, I think, have been up. Some games perhaps more than others, but I think some teams have probably seen an increase, but I'd have to see a breakdown to see who's profited the most.
I think one of the things about grounds, though, that I was quite surprised, and I learned more about it last week, was and when Gary came on from Football Web Pages last week, and he was talking about the Kingstonian situation and the possibility that, you know, they may be sort of like losing their ground, and I was quite taken aback by the fact that they might actually end up losing the ground down at Kingstown, and with Chelsea moving into it for their reserve teams and their ladies' sides. I was quite taken aback by the fact that he was, I think he was a bit concerned about where they were going to play.
That's well, in London, isn't it? There's just premium of space. So
yeah, but let's get it right. I mean, when AFC Wimbledon took over at King's Meadow, they actually protected Kingstonian. They have Kingstonian have a lease there. Obviously, I get involved from the league side to make sure everybody's got their security of tenure. AFC Wimbledon have been absolutely magnificent towards Kingstonian, and as I say, they have a lease. So you know, if and there's no, as I understand it, no certainty. Chelsea are merely looking at the possibility of purchasing the AFC Wimbledon interest, and AFC don't have the freehold. The council own the freehold. The AFC have an overriding head lease, and Kingstonian have that under lease. So I believe that unless a purchaser bought out Kingstonian's interest, they would still have the right to play there. So I think, you know, a lot of people have come out with this because they've seen a couple of things in the media saying, oh, Chelsea are looking to do this, that and the other. And let's remember, it's looking to do. Mm. There's nothing certain, so far as I'm aware. Nobody's told the league, yeah, this has definitely happened. And I believe that, that Kingstonian are protected. If Kingstonian want to move to another ground, that's a matter for them. But as I understand it, and certainly the lease that I've seen, they are protected.
Mm. But one of the things we've started to do, because we've got about 5 minutes before Tony phones up, but one of the things we started to do on the show is the Rahman Team of the Week. And this week there was probably, when I looked at it, there was a couple of nominations came in. But when I actually physically looked at it and looked at the games that were being played, there was the results went the way possibly that you expected the results to go, except for one. And somebody actually nominated them. So I spoke to Review Non-League as well, and we agreed that Week 8's Rahman Team of the Week was Horsham. They won their third game in 10 months away from home last week. So congratulations to Horsham as well, taking over the mantle from Brighton City Regent, who have won it 2 weeks in a row. But don't forget, if you wanted to nominate your side, you've got to 10 o'clock on Saturday evening, and need to email harlowtown007@gmail.com. That's harlowtown007@gmail.com to get your nominations in and the reasons why your team should be put up for nomination for week 9 now of the Rahman Team of the Week. So, you know, join in, get yourself voting there, and see if you can beat Hive Town that had over 700 votes in 1 week, which was more than the previous week's grand totals, in I think the first 3 or 4 weeks' grand totals, and they managed to get over 700 votes. And I know, I think it was not last week, week before, with last week with Steve, the manager down at Chipstead, contacted me and said, look, he said, we're up for it. He said, but we don't stand a chance. He says, I can't get on. He said, we ain't got that. We're never going to do it. And he managed to get on Twitter, and he's got on through his through Facebook and through the actual website and all the rest of it. And in the end, they actually lost the vote to Brighton City Region by 9 votes. They had over 1,000 votes between the two clubs, and they actually lost it by 9 votes. And the lead changed hands 9 times. I think the Stuart said in the, I think it was about the last half an hour, 10 minutes of the vote, it actually changed hands 9 times. So he was close.
Yeah,
didn't quite get there, but
very good effort.
But it's a matter of, I mean, people have said to me, yo, the bigger the fan base, the more chance you've got of winning it. And I said to them, well, Hive Town haven't got a bigger fan base. I think they were at the same week as Maidstone and a few others that was in there. I said they haven't got necessarily as big a fan base as some of the others, but they went out there and they put bits out on Twitter and Facebook and their website. And I know Guernsey have got a big fan base, but they even went to the ITN News, and it was on the ITN News channel, on the World Wide Web, and all of a sudden I get this email come through from Stuart from Review Non-League, and all of a sudden there it is, Rahman Team of the Week, and it's made the ITV news channel when on the website. So that was sort of like a bit of a sort of step back. So it's a matter of getting out there, get your votes in, get the word around, and who knows if you can be the week 8. We normally sort of have a look at it and just see who's the possibility with the fixtures from the week coming up, just to see if we can sort of pinpoint ones that may be the ones that may actually do it for us.
Can I come back in on those attendances? Yeah. Mm. I can tell you in the North Division up to the end of December. Attendances are 11.4% up. Top attendance was Harlow Town, 426 against Soham Town. What we do also is we break down by month, and then we work out who is the most attractive away team. So Needham Market have been the team three times when the home club have got their highest attendance. And we've got all the attendances. As I say, 426 is the season best. Over the league, the best attendance was 2856 at Dulwich for the Hampton and Richmond Borough match on the 6th of September, the non-league day. After that, Margate 2306 and Maidstone 1996. And in the south, the top attendance, 925 at Guernsey against Whiteleaf on the 13th of August. So the attendances overall are, I think it's 1% down overall across the whole league. So it's quite, we're holding up.
It's great to see numbers coming out like that, especially when you see even into the Football League, and you've probably got some of the Football League clubs that are not actually getting attendances of the numbers that you've just read out there, Nick. So it's a real sort of, it should be a real good lifter for everybody, I suppose, that we're getting those type of figures. It might be one or two clubs that are getting those sort of figures, but it just proves that you know, the interest for Rama football is ever growing.
Well, as at the end of December, we'd played 919 matches across the league. So that was, and that gave an average of 229 per match with all the attendances, the aggregate divided by that. So it's going the right way.
Yeah,
very pleased.
I mean, one of the things we'll come to as well, because it's a question that's, I know I've had a chat with Ray about before an hour, and I think I might even mentioned it to Dan as well, and, I know Tony's going to call in a minute, and there we go. I'll come back to that question in a minute. But if you want to stick your headsets on, then you'll be able to speak to Tony as well at the same time.
Bye.
Can I just say, we talk about you know, the media and that sort of thing. One of the things that we've tried to do this year, we had a company interested in doing a magazine programme, which we would put on the internet so that clubs can access it when they want to. Unfortunately, the problem is that the costs of production, you know, the company is looking at, you know, it's a four-figure sum per program, and they need certain sponsors for it. So once again, it comes back to sponsorship, and we're not able to do it. We haven't got the wherewithal within the league to do it, so we need somebody from outside. It would, I think, get a lot of support, but again, you know, there's no money for it. So it's very difficult, because I don't think that's the sort of thing that we can, as a league, pay for. But we know that there is appetite amongst the supporters for it.
Alan's got his pen and paper out now. Ask Theo. As a parting gift.
Yeah.
And I've just quickly, before we go to the news, but it's for me, the Ryman Awards dinner, I've been very, very lucky. And I'll say very, very lucky to be able to have come the last 2 years with Ray. And my wife's somebody that wasn't into football at all. And a bit what Ray was saying, she's now come. She'll come. She'll finish his work at 3 o'clock, and she'll come all the way over to make sure she gets to see the second half. My daughter now does all the photography and so forth. And every year she's speaking, she says, when's the Ryman do coming? When's the Ryman? Are we going to get an invite from it? So we speak to Ray all the time. And it is one of the most fantastic evenings of the year, and thoroughly, thoroughly look forward to it every single year when we come to it. And it's really something that's put on so well by yourselves and the rest of the board.
And this year we have Bobby Davro doing the cabaret. So that's something to look forward to. We hope that will mean a lot of people will want to come back. We had him a couple of years ago. He's absolutely fantastic. And so we are doing that this year.
I think the lady doing the violin last year was absolutely sensational. I mean, absolutely incredible to... you know, I so enjoyed that last year. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was
brilliant, wasn't she? She was absolutely sensational last year. But we're going to quickly go for a break. And when we come back, we'll talk to Nick a bit more. And, of course, as well, at 9 o'clock tonight, don't forget, we've got the one and only Mr. Matt Letizia. But we're going to leave you with these messages and news, and we'll be back with you in about 5 minutes' time. Sure, not I was going to say fist up the road. I was going to say feelings on. We don't want that. How for you? I mean, he comes across, as Tony said, someone that's been involved with the league for a very, very long time in one way or another. I mean, it must be. Was it a bit of a disappointment to you when he must have told you sort of like privately that he was going to do the speech that he did last year at the AGM and that he was going to step down this year?
Yeah, we've you know, he's been fantastic. I mean, he joined the league in 1959 as a linesman, as we called them then, and he's worked all the way through since then. And I've worked with him for the last 32 years. So you know, we have it's been a fantastic relationship. So yeah, I mean, Alan told the board he gave them 2 years' notice. But said, look, you know, I don't want it to be a long goodbye, but you know, I've got to give you notice, and I'll announce it at the AGM in 2014. So that's allowed us to approach it in a professional manner and to deal with everything. So yeah, you know, but Alan is going to be with us. Mm. I mean, let's remember that he's not leaving us. He's shifting sideways. He will become the president. Well, he's already president. He will remain president. He's also going to be a director of the league. He'll remain a director and will retain special sponsorship responsibility. So, you know, we're not going to lose him. We're not going to say goodbye to him finally. What we are doing is having a new chairman. And it's what Alan has done is quite remarkable. I have worked with him as chairman and secretary. I was secretary for 24 years, and so you know we used to speak 4 or 5 times a day, literally, for many years, and that was 7 days a week. So it's it's going to be a change, but I don't think that the clubs, I don't think people are going to see a marked change. I really don't. I mean, I don't think we need to. Mm. We are a successful league. Why do we need to change anything?
Mm. I know Ray's thrown his hat in the ring for chairman. Anyway.
I'm not rich enough to be chairman.
Well, I mean, chairman wise, is it yourself that will go forward, or is that something that's going to?
It's an election.
You said it, yeah.
Yes, I intend to stand, and we'll see if other people do. Mm. But if there's more than one nomination, then it will be an election. I'm very fortunate that the board have decided to recommend my nomination, I hope I will get the support of the clubs. Mm. I've got 38 clubs to persuade. And I would like to think, having been involved with the league for as long as I have, that I'll have that confidence. Mm. But I don't take anything for granted, and I know I've got to talk to clubs and make sure that they're going to support.
Mm. Who would likely be to stand against you, though, Nick? I don't know. I'm not. I don't know.
I don't know either. I think that all we can do is to say the rules, the articles of the company say it's an election. I mean, you were at the EGM last week. We changed some of the articles, but we have left it that the clubs will elect the chairman. Mm. We've changed it so that the board are going to appoint the vice chairman in future, and will appoint the president, which have all been elected capacities previously. But we are leaving it that the chairman is elected by the clubs rather than being appointed by the board.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. It's a proper democratic process, and if somebody, I mean, I think in all the years Alan was challenged once by one a chairman of one club who got 6 votes. So you know, it was we never thought that Alan was going to lose, and I said to him at the time, it's a matter of how many vote for that person. And you know, it was 6 votes, so you know, it wasn't a struggle really.
No.
As I say, I'd like to think that whoever gets it, obviously I hope I get it, but if somebody is better than me, if the clubs want somebody other than me, then that's their choice. That's what democracy is about, and I hope that he will deal with everything as well as Alan has.
And just hope that Seb Black don't turn up on the day.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think he'd get many votes, just to be honest.
Well, I mean, the league itself, I mean, I say, I've only been involved with it. I know, Dan, you go around and see some of the games. I mean, you've seen the. I always get the people say to me at work, and they say to me, "Oh, you tell me you're a Harlow Town fan. You tell me you're a Harlow Town fan, but you're not. You're an Arsenal fan, aren't you?" No, I'm a Harlow Town fan, and if and always come up with a statement to them. And I know Rafe. I think Rafe was exactly the same. We've topped them. You know, if someone said to us today, "Right, there you go, the European Cup for Arsenal at the end of the season, or Arlow win the Ryman North." Well, forget the Champions League. I couldn't care. I just want that one. You know, that's the one we want at the end of the season. But it's. Do you get that yourself with people, though? Do you think people, when if people come up to you and say, "What team you guys support?" That if you was to say a Ryman team or a non-league team, they ask you the question, "Well, no, what's the real team?"
Well, I think there was an article about this the other day. I think it was in the Guardian. I think it was about snobbery about non-league clubs. I think it was actually Mike who wrote it, Mike Bailey. Because he's a Wingate and Finchley fan, but his other club is Kidderminster Harriers, and so he's kind of you might have got a bit of snobbery for being just a Kidderminster fan, but yeah, he was explaining that people just think it's a bit alien, to be honest, to still to have a non-league club as a, you know, to put your full weight behind a non-league club as a supporting rather than, let's say, a Premier League club or, let's say, a Championship club. It's hard to kind of get over that stereotype, really. It's hard to try and shackle off that kind of prejudicial, you know, opinion from people. But, you know, the league is obviously in this day and age of social media. It's easier to promote the club. It's easier to get them a bit bigger platform. And, you know, it's a case of just keep knocking on the door, keep trying to change attitudes. And
yeah, I had that at work all the time. I was like, you know, always Spurs this, Spurs that. And I said, "Look, I'm the Harlow Town club secretary now, and it's from I've supported the club for over 30 years, and so, you know, you cut me, I bleed Harlow, you know."
You've got red blood in you.
Yeah, he was going to say that, weren't
you? Yeah. Can you, mate?
I was waiting for that.
But my first club was Dulwich Hamlet. I mean, the first football I ever saw was Isthmian football. And my father played for the club and was treasurer there. So he took me there. And, yeah, OK, I mean, I go to other football. I go to Premier League football for my sin support Chelsea. But my first love is non-league. It's, you know, and it is Isthmian football. And I went to 63 grounds last season. Out of the 72, you know, I smacked myself for missing nine, you know. But, you know, I try and see every club every season, and I normally achieve it. That's the commitment that you have, that you want to see them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as Tony Gale said to me last night, he said, "Well, that's what we expect, is that you're out on a cold, wet Wednesday night. You're here at Wharton Casuals." Yeah, that's it. That's what I do.
Yeah.
If you don't, you know, we've got 72 clubs. And, you know, it's very difficult getting out to all the grounds and seeing them every season.
It kind of epitomises a character of your typical non-league fan, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
Someone who's prepared to skip a Champions League night or England on the telly over just going down to, you know, just... like with another 50 or 60 other people going to see on a cold, wet Wednesday night, Wharton Casuals or, you know, Grays Athletic or anybody like that.
Yep.
And that's really what non-league football's all about.
I have two anoraks in the car.
Well, I mean, you're out most nights then yourself, aren't you? I mean, you know,
sometimes.
I mean, you're out sort of almost every night. You know, I mean, people, it's... the following that you've got, you know, on social media, you get people actually asking you, "What games are you going to be at this week?" I'll post it in a minute. I'll let you know later on. I'm going to post it on Saturday or whatever it is. And people are actually waiting to see what grounds Dan's actually going to be at throughout all the leagues in non-league.
Well, he's had to avoid it.
Well, you can imagine the ire and frustration when I tell them I'm not going to be at your game this week and you'll have to put up with me some other time.
But it's the joy of going to the games, isn't it? I mean, we've said it numerous occasions myself. You know, I just came over, watched one game, and, you know, now I'm at work on have to work Saturdays and so forth, and it's absolutely awful. Do you know what I mean? To be at the games and I'm having to sneak into corners in the shop and flick it through football web pages to see what the game was, and, you know, it couldn't have been any worse than this Saturday with the game against Burnham Ramblers, because it was like, oh, no. It was like being in a washing machine all afternoon. It was just incredible.
It also epitomises non-league, doesn't it? What happened with Burnham on Saturday, that anyone can beat anyone.
Yeah, definitely.
At non-league, well, particularly at this kind of level of non-league football, whereas, you know, even Premiership, you can almost guess the results half the time, can't you? At least who's going to win, who's going to lose. And
it was quite interesting on Saturday. As I said, I was at Burgess Hill, so I'm following it on live scores on the iPad, and I've seen that Harlow go down, and then you start seeing red cards coming in. You think, oh, and then oh, got one back, and oh, there's an equaliser. Oh, and you see the final score, and actually seeing it on live scores. I mean, I believe that putting live scores in and what we've introduced back in the last 2 years has actually really added for our supporters. Yeah. Yeah. Has been fantastic. Not just, I mean, football web pages, yes, that's, I mean, obviously we're linked in with them, and they provide the information for it. But I always go through the live scores on our website. And it's incredible. Yeah. You see everything happening minute by minute. And Alan said to me, he wasn't unfortunately well enough to go to a match on Saturday. He said, I was following it on live scores, and he'd follow the, you know, Burgess Hill and Telford. Oh, goal in the last minute. Oh, that must have been awful, you know. And it is that. And it's like you say, Dan. You could see what's happening, you know, because you would expect Harlow v Burnham. We would all expect it to go a certain way. And when it doesn't go that way, you think, what's happening? Yeah. Maybe I need to ring Ray and find out what's going on, you know. But, you know, I think we have been able to develop our supporters in that way. I mean, we're up to, what have we got, 7,000 now on Twitter followers. The one thing we haven't worked on, and which I'm working with Dave Waters on, is Facebook. We've got 200 followers there and several others. I mean, I'm on Facebook and so is Ray, but we haven't put our commitment to that. We do work on Twitter more than Facebook, but that will be one of the directions that we're going in terms of social media, because, look, what we understand is that so many clubs say to us, our support is dying off. Well, if we want the younger supporters, we've got to speak their language.
Yeah,
and we've got to connect with them through social media. Mm. We all know there are dangers with social media, particularly, you know, we know what's happened with footballers who do silly tweets and things like that. But actually, people want to read what they've got to say, so long as they're sensible about it. And, you know, we use Twitter and Facebook as our means to get out to clubs and to say, right, this story's on our website. And I think we've been very good in using the website as our official communication channel. So I think, you know, it's good for all our spectators. Hopefully our supporters do feel part of the Isthmian family. Mm.
I know we was speaking to Ray. There was a game just recently. I can't even remember what game it was. I couldn't actually be at the game, and I was at the head office for Tesco's doing a load of work in there on the Saturday, and couldn't get to the game. And everybody's in there just checking sort of right to work bits and bobs, and in there it's so quiet you could have heard a pin drop. And I've got my laptop open here, and I've got my phone right next door to it, refreshing it on the Ryman scores, refreshing it. And I think it was a day that the Great Wakering game against Needham at the time, and of course we were winning, and he's flicking it through, and all of a sudden you saw Great Wakering equalise, and of course you just completely forget where you were, and I've just gone, yes, like this, and everybody's sort of looking around in this huge office of about 1,000 people, all looking around to see where it's coming from. It's just keep your head down and just carry on going with what you're doing, but it does grip you as a, you know, and you say to people, come along to a game, go along to whatever game it may be, go and see the game, and you'll be so engrossed with what's going on in the game. And every ground that you seem to go into, the personnel and the officials of that home club, and also the visiting officials, 9 times out of 10 are like a big family. And you get sort of, as soon as you sort of walk into the ground, it's almost as if there's these two arms that come and grab you and sort of put your arms around you when you walk into the ground. And it's just such a fantastic, you know, league and non-league itself to actually be part of. It's just amazing. I mean, as I said, my wife wouldn't go near football in a million years, you know, and she's coming all the time, you know. My daughter comes all the time. My father-in-law is in his 70s and never had a smartphone or anything like that whatsoever. Now we've bought him a little tablet, and he's flicking through the Ryman scores, and I'll go round and he'll go, well, that'll be good for your show on Thursday, or that'll be good for that. And I see Arlo won at the weekend, and no, and he's in his late 70s, but he's as you go around it to visit him, he's always telling me what's actually happened during the week with non-league football. And he loves his Boxing Day, because when it comes to Boxing Day, he gets, we take him especially if it's a home game, you know, he'll come along, he comes in, he sits down, he watches the game, and he absolutely loves it because he sees one day out a year as such, because he's the carer for his other half, and he'll come out and he absolutely loves it because he knows my wife could look after her mum, and then he comes out with me and comes over here and comes and watches the games, whoever we might be playing. It's his one day out, but it just grips everybody. Do you know what I mean? I think it comes into a ground, and the sadness for me is that people will still get to that stage of non-league. It's just kick and rush. But we've got so many players in this in our league that have, you know, even just recently that have moved to professional clubs. I think the latest was it kind of
Greg Lure
from Burgess, who have gone to Hull. Do you know what I mean? And it's there's so many of them being picked up to, and going up.
Mm. And there's always scouts around it all the time, all the games.
Yeah. I mean, the ones. I mean, does that give yourself and the board a massive pleasure when you see that? When you see sort of one of your players as such being, you know, scouted and then taken up to a high level.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we've seen a number over the last few seasons. You know, you've had the sort of production line coming from Dulwich Hamlet, for instance. Mm. You know, you want to help the clubs, and you know, it's massive. It's fantastic, and we can also go to the sponsors and say, look, you know, here's all the publicity we've got for that. And you know, when we get, it's like Tony Gale was saying that when people have come down to do filming, he gets it by a certain board. Well, we do the same thing. You know, we try and make sure that if there's interviews, it's done by the Ryman board. We're actually looking at producing an interview backdrop board with all the sponsors' names on it. So, like the BBC do at Match of the Day, you see the manager interviewed at the end. We're looking at producing a similar sort of thing, so as to say, look, can you put that in the players' tunnel or wherever you have your interviews, so that if it does happen, and we're small fry, we have to accept that realistically we are small fry, but if the local press come and take a photograph, we want it with that backdrop, so as to say, here we are, look, we are Ryman. And every time we can say there's Ryman, there's Robert Dias, and we can show the development, the Macron deal. I mean, Macron are a fantastic company. The support they give us with all the bench kit and all that sort of thing. I see you're not wearing a Macron shirt at the moment. That's, we'll just make a note of that. Hold on.
Another fine.
you do get the charge first, you know. Kelly, if you're listening. but you know, it is a non-league family, you know, and I think that's why non-league day has been so good and the developments. And we saw this year, this season, you know, non-league day was the best it's been, and it is getting better.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's getting better and better.
Absolutely.
It's getting more and more publicity. Yeah. And national radio.
Absolutely, and we're starting to see the professional clubs actually advertising it, and I think it was Arsenal recently when they didn't have a match and they were saying, Hendon have got a match this day, please go along. Mm-hmm. And it's that sort of thing. If we can persuade the Premier clubs in the match beforehand to say, right, it's an international Saturday, but please support your local non-league side. What a boost that would be. Because it's no skin off their nose. The majority, again, let's be realistic, the majority of the, you know, 60,000 at Arsenal are not going to suddenly say, oh yeah, let's go to Hendon next week when Arsenal are playing Manchester United. It's not going to happen. But what you may do is when Arsenal are away, somebody may say, why don't we go and see a non-league game? Really enjoyed that.
It just takes 20 or 30 extra people, and that just makes such a difference.
Absolutely.
Days. Enormous difference.
Yeah. Mm. But also what we want to do is we want to be able to spread the news that it's not the kick and rush, it's not that, it's actually good football. Mm. And there are the players like Greg Lure who are coming from our step four and going up to the Premier League. Yeah. Which
Chris,
I think,
Smalling, that's the name that stands out for me. I'm coming from Maidstone, and there's like an England international.
Yeah,
you know, that's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and as Dan said, you know, and you'll sit with the games you go to. The number of times I go to games, scouts are there, and you think, oh, who are you after? You know, I mean, you normally find out who they're looking at, but You know, we have a lot of players who, you know, the big scorers and that, and you know they're going to be looked at. Mm. You know, the age is no bar these days. Mm. The senior clubs, the professional clubs, they just want successful players. Mm. I'm going to embarrass myself now. I can't remember the lad who went from, the Turkish lad who went from Dulwich Hamlet last year to Peterborough. Yeah. Oztuma. He got injured. He's just come back into the Peterborough side. He scored a couple of goals for them. You know, so he's made it. But they all said, "Oh, he's too small. He's too this. He's too that." But Barry Fry took him. He said, "No, I'll give him a try." And that's great. So again, you've got players who, in times gone by, you know, how old are you? 22. I know you're too old, son. Mm. You know, but actually not. Those clubs are having to look at all people. Mm. And so I think that's the other thing for players. They're not over the hill at 22. The academies are very good. And a lot of our clubs have their own academies. But it does mean that there's a pathway for them. But they're not on the scrap heap once they come out of the academies. Mm. Because if they're good enough, I think, you know, they say cream rises. And they've now got a showcase with the Ryman League and with other non-league leagues across the country that they can be seen.
Yeah, well, we went with the Essex Cup, didn't we? We went to the Essex Cup to Southend. And, you know, I had an Alex Reid shirt on as I walked in, and a couple of the people were saying about Alex Reid, about he did this last year, he did that last year. And I think a couple of the young lads were sitting just to the right of us, and he scored our first goal. And I just turned around and went, "Well, that's Alex Reid." But we was expecting, you know, I personally was thinking to Alex, "Don't play well today, just in case someone comes along and picks you up." But it was funny. We went, I think, the following week, and then we ended up with one of their players, Daniel Matasuka, wasn't it? And he played a couple of games for us, and you could tell that the guy just oozed class. I mean, he was a young lad, absolutely sensational player. And now he's gone back, and he's back at Southend, isn't he? And he's in the squad at Southend on a regular basis, you know. And it's and every time I seem to read a Southend piece on Twitter now, his name gets mentioned, I would say, two or three times a week now, on the Southend feed about, you know, he's going to be doing this and he's doing that and he's coming into here. And unfortunately, the youth team didn't win today, but you've got to remember Daniel Matasuka weren't playing for him. He's in the first team squad, and it seems every single sort of tweet that came out in the last few weeks has been around this young man, and he was just brilliant. But they seem to come through. But there is ones there that sort of you scratch your head about and think to yourself, well, you know, why are they not actually being picked up? You know, the likes of Alex Reid, Ross Allen at Guernsey, and David Knight up at Wingate. You just think, so it's weird how you've got these guys that are banging in goals left, right and centre almost every single season, but are still playing for Guernsey, Harlow and Wingate. I mean, I'm all right, he'll stay as long as he likes, but it's, you just look at some players and you must think, what are these scouts actually looking at when there's clubs out there in the Premier League and a bit lower that are crying out for strikers?
The other good thing that, and I don't know whether Ray, you've done this at Harlow, but you know, we've introduced the youth loan system, and so the youth players can come in, play for our teams, and also, you know, be on a dual registration, so they can play for the youth sides for their own side. So the Southend player can still play at Southend, can come and play here. And we just had clarification on that, because there was a little worry that they couldn't, with some of them, they couldn't play during the, or couldn't sign during the transfer window. But we clarified that with the FA. And for our level of the game, because we don't operate transfer windows, we can have the youth loans all the way through the season. And that, I mean, that's been used by a lot of people. The whole fact that we can have loan players is very good, because obviously the loan system operates from the Premier League, the Championship, the Football League and the four Alliance Leagues. So, you know, that's within the FA regulations as the named league. So you can't have a loan system below that. We're not only producing our own players, we're providing a forum for players in other academies and other clubs to come and play and get their experience. And clearly, from the number of players we have on the loan schemes, short term, long term, youth loans, and all that sort of thing, the clubs in the area, the professional clubs in the area, do see it as a worthwhile benefit.
Well, we was offered Soldado the other day, but we said we wanted a goal scorer, didn't we?
So. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I heard you got offered most of the Tottenham team.
Right, I think that's the wife calling up.
Yeah, she wants to know if she can go to the Ryman Deer this year. Cumbria, no thanks. Yeah. She'll go there 2 days later. It's all right, Ray. I've had a chat with her.
It'll
only be raining anyway, so.
I want to go back to what we was talking about before we went on and on, back to social media and that side of it, and with football web pages. Now, I don't know if it's something that I can bring up maybe at the AGM or whatever, but I think it's such a great tool. I mean, it's been, as we were saying earlier, it's been brilliant for the Ryman League, absolutely superb. Can we not get clubs to put their full team in on all the occasions?
Do you know, you're pushing against an open door, but let me tell you that, you know, we have 72 clubs. We have clubs that are set up like your club. We have clubs that are literally one-man bands. Mm. And you go to some clubs and say, can we ask you to help us and do this? I say, we haven't got the manpower. You know, do you understand how difficult it is on a match day to do this? And I'm not going to mention any names,
no,
but, you know, you know the clubs because you play 23 of them every season. So you know the situation, and we have some who can do it straight away, but the others who, for somebody to sit there and put in 16 names means he's not doing something else. So I would love to. And we are actually working with football web pages at the moment so that the information that they produce goes straight into the website and is an automatic update. Because at the moment, Dave Watters does that. When the results come in on a Saturday evening, he has to sit there and manually input everything so that it all updates automatically.
Right.
So we're talking to Pitch Hero, we're talking to Gary at Football Web Pages, and we're trying to get them to do the interface so that it's an automatic upgrade. Mm. And that will then bring in the goal scorers. But it again needs excellence of the inputted material.
Yeah.
And what we can't have is that, and I know you wouldn't do it, but I'll take you as an example. So Ray Dyer puts in that Alex Reid scored the second goal for Harlow, but actually it was somebody else. And then he's got, oh, sorry, that's a mistake. So, you know, retract that and put in the correct name. You know, if we don't get good information to start with, we're lost.
Mm.
David Knight talking about him, I'm sure you won't mind me saying, but you know, he's a good goal scorer. He likes to see his top of the charts. Last season we often got phone calls, he should be on 16 goals or 17 goals and he's still down on 15, and that's great because that sort of keeps us on our toes.
Yeah.
And we have to look back and say, yeah, actually, until your club inputs that information, it won't be increased. So again, if we could get all the clubs to do that straight away, and if we can bring in the software through Gary and Mark at Pitch Hero, it'll be great.
Mm. Yeah.
And we can give you as clubs more information straight away.
Yeah. I just think, like I say, it's a fantastic tool, and say I see it all the time. Obviously we're going around all the clubs and seeing which ones do it and which ones don't, but there seems to be a lot of the smaller clubs are doing it and doing the whole lot, and a lot of the bigger teams are not doing it.
You talk to them for us, and I'll tell you what, any of that's not, I'll ask them to come and see you, or in fact Mrs. Dyer, because you're obviously terrified of it. So so, you know, if you're not going to put the players' names on there, Mrs. Dyer will come and have a chat with you. But no, it is.
I hope she's not listening tonight.
I hope she is.
She's just calling through now, actually.
Yeah.
but
it is. I mean, you know, we try and bring in a lot of different initiatives, and sometimes it's very frustrating that the majority of clubs do say, "Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, that's great." All right, it may be a bit difficult because Ray actually does 25 different jobs on a match day, but we'll see what we can do. And others come along, no, we just seriously can't do it.
Mm.
And there's the in-between that says, we don't want to, or, you know, look, that means somebody's got to come off the burger bar or whatever, and that sort of thing. Because what we want to do is, within the wider sort of football family, is to get those people involved. So, you know, it's a long-term thing that, you know, the social media that we're talking about, if we can get in half a dozen people, and if we can get one of those who's really interested, can I help? It's that sort of thing. You know, we produced 2 years ago the Here to Help jacquards.
Yes.
I go around to all our grounds. You don't see them at every ground every week. And sometimes, you know, I have to complete a form every ground I go to. You know, was somebody wearing the Here to Help thing? And we don't actually, we don't come back and say, oh, Ray Dyer, Nick Robinson came to your ground on Saturday and nobody was seeing that. Because that's not what we're about. But what we do is we keep the records. So if somebody else comes along and says, I went to Harlow and this, that and the other, and I didn't know where to go, I didn't know where the turnstiles were or where the bar was, we can then go, Ray, we provided you with this tool to help. Is it possible that you could have somebody wear it?
Yeah.
Now, again, we produce that. I'm sure there's some clubs will have it still in its original wrapper, and it won't have been taken out by them. Again, we can only we can help. We can produce the wherewithal, but we can't force you to do it. You know, I'd love you to spend a week working for the league, and because you would get a lot of satisfaction, but there's a lot of frustration as well.
Yeah, I can imagine. I've found that, obviously, as I was saying, I've followed Harlow over 30 years and was following as a supporter, and it wasn't until I come on this side of it to realise what actually goes on behind a football club and that, and it's mind-boggling, mind-boggling.
But you've also worked out, if I can say this without embarrassing you, but you've worked out that if you work with the league, it's much easier than working against us. So, you know, when you first came on, you know, we had some issues and we were in regular dialogue, but we got it sorted now.
Yes.
And, you know, when I get an email that comes in Radar, I don't think, do I want to open this? You know, it's great. Mm. And that's what we want with every club, so that we actually work together rather than have a club that's saying, oh, I don't want to do that, oh, it's the league again.
Yeah.
You know, it's that can be very frustrating.
Yeah. Well, those original emails were from Ray. The new ones are from the wife.
Yeah. Actually, we're going to deal with Mrs. Dyer now. It's the only way forward.
there's been one. I just had one message come in. It's from Craig Johnston. He said, "Tell Dan not to be shy." Mr. Craig Johnston from Averley.
Shy.
Yeah, that's what he says. I don't know. There we go. But. We talked about the season tickets, you know, the season tickets for Premiership clubs. It may be one of those things that might be really, really good that they could actually get to a stage of even putting in a ticket for whatever is their local club, and then saying, look, go along, not a free ticket, but a ticket that says this team's on that occasion. And then if that actually, that person goes to, say, Hendon, if it's an Arsenal fan or wherever they might go, and they get that and they get it stamped at the ground, that when they go, they've got that collection in their season ticket, they might get a certain money off their season ticket the following year at the professional club.
Hang on, let me just go and see if they can see a pig fly. no, not at the moment.
But, do you know, I mean, that's something that, you know, if they was going to be helping non-league, you know, by knocking off sort of 50 quid off of a what's-the-name bill or whatever else it might be, just because someone's gone along to one of the Ryman clubs or to one of the, you know, Vanarama clubs and actually got it stamped, and then it's actually in their actual season ticket that person actually been to that ground.
Dave, what I think would be great is if we could get our clubs in the London area to say, how many season tickets do you send out? Right, we'll give you that number of vouchers for that person to take along to their local club and get free entrance or a pound off or something like that. That, I think, is something we could look at. But you know, when we had the idea of the Friday night football, we said, right, let's try and get local football in, and let's try and get it so that if you go to and I'd been to Leatherhead and Merstham, and we talked about it in the boardroom there. So if you went to Leatherhead Merstham on Friday evening, we'll give you a voucher valid for any Isthmian game, Ryman game on the Saturday, and you would get either free admission or half price or whatever. And we put it to some clubs who said, well, hold on, that means I'm not going to get my £8, I'm only going to get £4. And it failed because we didn't get complete support. What we're trying to say to clubs is, look, one of the most important things is to actually get somebody through the door. And if it's somebody new, that's great. And if we could get, and I think there were sort of 400 people at Leatherhead that particular evening, if we got half of them to go to a match on the Saturday as well, I mean, clearly Ray wouldn't be able to go because Mrs. Dyer wouldn't let him, but if we could get half the attendance there to go to a Ryman game the next day, which they wouldn't normally do, we saw that as a great positive.
The thing is, Nick, it's not just about getting people through the gate. Once they get it through the gate, they all then have some income to spend, and then they'll spend money on the food bar, they'll go in the clubhouse, they might buy some stuff in the club shop, and so there's extra money to be made from that, and there's extra revenue available for clubs. So it's not just through the gate.
I had one chairman who said, that's great, they can have free admission to my ground, because I will get that money from them at the burger bar, the bar and everything else.
And some clubs do make a significant proportion of their income from the non-admission revenue, like clubhouses.
So. Yeah. I mean, think how many programmes you pulp every week. Well, if you've got another 10 people in, probably 5 are going to buy a programme. So it's that, again, that you're just getting that little bit more over. It ticks the tills over, doesn't it?
Do you think the boss is listening?
No, comment. I'm not prepared to comment on that statement.
One of the things that's come to the forefront, in the last... the last year or last 6 months that I've seen is this football exclusives. We've had the guys in the studio, and it just seems to be a great incentive for clubs to try and get themselves on a waiting list there with them to actually because of the way they were selling it to me is the fact of that it's £5 for the premium service. You get to see 20 minutes of highlights. The club gets to see the manager of the club gets a full game. You've got commentary on there as well. And you've also then get the situation where you see everybody else's as well. And £2 of that actually comes into the club's coffers at the end of the year, which is, for me, a complete no-brainer. Because if you've got, 700 quid or 400 quid coming into your club at the end of the year, it's probably like having a Premiership club getting 400,000 giving them to them for nothing at the end of the year.
We are talking to them.
Because I know there's a wait list, it's quite a big waiting list, because I know when they've come in, we're on there as well, and I think there's four clubs. Isn't there?
Lewis is one of them.
Lewis, Dulwich, Hamlet, Hampton, Richmond, Borough, and I think it's Staines. I think is the other one.
Not sure.
I think it is. I think
in the conference.
Yeah. Yeah,
probably not for much longer. They'll probably be back on this program. they won this week.
They beat Gosport.
Well, they've got Nicky Forster in, so they might well turn it round. So can't write them off yet. But
that actually linked that in really well, because that was the next question.
I haven't read the script, honestly.
That's just what I've been jotting down as I've been going along. But if there's clubs in the Ryman League, and I know we want everybody to be successful, but if we sort of on a bias side of it, is there clubs in the Ryman League that you look at and think, well, I hope they don't go up, but then look at other clubs and think, well, I hope they come down because of what they actually bring with them?
I think what we are, our position within the football pyramid is to groom clubs for higher things. So the day that Harlow get promoted from us to conference will be a great day. We'll be sad to see them. We're sad to see any club go. But we've done our job, and we hope they will look back, and that every club looks back and says, yeah, we had a really good time with the Ryman League. And I think the vast majority do. I can't say that we're sad to see. I mean, we were sad to see Wimbledon go because of the great exposure they gave us and the attendances they brought to all our clubs. You're sad to see them go. This year, we could see Margate or Maidstone or Dulwich, all those who are getting, big attendances and big exposure in the media. So, again, you're saying, well, yeah, we'd be sorry to see them go. But what I believe our position in the pyramid is that we look and say, what are we getting up at step five? Mm. Who's coming in from step five? And what can they bring to us? And so I think I turn it around the other way. Mm. And so my focus is then at the bottom. in step two, and what the clubs that are coming down, or if there's shortages, have we got to look and see if there's a club coming by lateral movement? And that's where I think you look and say, right, what do we want? I mean, one of the things we were talking about today is Bishop Stortford are in a danger position. Would we want them? There's your Christmas fixture sorted.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
But there are other considerations that, you know, if you get promoted and they come down, there's two in that area. Yeah. But for that, that's two clubs somewhere else that aren't there. So there's a geographical consideration there. And I think that there's so many things that we have to look at. So, yeah, you know, yes, your simple question about, you know, do we look at that? We have to look at it in so many different ways.
But do you look at it? I always thought it was an FA. At the end of the day, I thought the FA had the final say of where the clubs go laterally and geographically.
Well, I'm very lucky that I'm the league representative on the FA Council, and I sit on the Alliance Committee, I sit on the League's Committee.
Yeah.
So I am personally very involved in that. But what we've been talking about today with the board is, how do you want me to represent you? What do we want to do? How do we want to approach the thing geographically for next season? And it's very important that we do decide which way we want to go. So it's not Nick Robinson that goes in and puts my views in there. It's important that I represent the views of the board. There are a lot of things that we have to think about, because let's suppose Harlow get promoted, Bishop Stortford come down. So if they're allocated, and it is done by the FA, if they come in, you then look and say, well, are Histon now exposed as being a Southern League side? Should they come over?
Yeah.
Cambridge City as well, because they're quite near.
Absolutely.
It's a domino effect, isn't it?
Absolutely. And then, I mean, last season, it was suggested at one time that King's Lynn should come to us. I'm like, oh, no. Really, we don't want King's Lynn, because geographically, yeah, King's Lynn are a very famous club, and they, you know, a famous ground and all that sort of thing. But actually, the geographical implication of that is enormous. Mm-hmm. And then you have to look at it and say, well, are we then going to lose clubs down in the south? And are we then losing our geographical heartland or our historical base? So, you know, there are so many different things. But to come to your question, Ray, what happens is that we have... we are represented, and last year, Kelly, the league secretary, myself and Alan all went to the first meeting, which every league can send two or three representatives. We look at all the clubs that are qualified for each level, and we try to allocate them to the step at which they've qualified for, and then look at each step and say, right, where should it be? And one of the difficulties we had last year was Lowestoft getting promoted. Should they go Conference North or should they go Conference South? Things like that that we look at. Yeah. 90% of the decisions are really quite simple. You know, Truro can't really go anywhere other than the Southern Premier. But, you know, once you come into the more mainstream areas, there are some issues that, you know, there are some clubs, I'm sure, who are looking and say, might I be moved in a lateral way? Can I be moved sideways at the step I am? And there will be some who are quite worried about that.
You're never going to get a perfect situation, are you? There's always going to be a few clubs who are going to be unhappy whichever way it goes. But you can't please everybody all the time. That's the thing.
Like that. It's when you look at, let's say it's the Ryman North Division, and all of a sudden you're looking at it, and yeah, we've got Wroxham in there and Dereham from up by Norwich. Brilliant. I mean,
and Norwich United.
Possibly next season, or Godmanchester.
So that's
more further
away. On the other effect, then you're looking at that poor old Chatham down in Kent, and it's who else we got? I don't know, Cray. Anyone up the other side of the other side of the Thames that have got all their travelling as well? And I don't know. I just don't. obviously you've got a certain amount of spaces in the right and south, and you've got to fill them with them clubs. So.
The biggest problem is that we've got the spaces in Ryman North that we have to fill.
Yes.
And there's not enough clubs in the north to actually fill that. So if we do that, then we've got to look at saying, well, OK, we'll need to take Royston from the Southern League to do that. And to balance that, then you're going to lose clubs in Ryman South who are on the, and we'll get my directions wrong, on the west side, are going to have to go to the Southern League Central Division. Or even their South Division. And then you say, well, is that in their best interest? And, you know, we have a situation then where you're looking at losing Surrey clubs and that comes further round. I said, well, where does that stop? And do we as a league want to become a club that is based geographically in East Anglia? No, and there's nothing against East Anglia, but that's not been our historical heartland. So is that where we want to be? And, you know, it's a lot of things that the board have to think about.
Yeah. Well, if we stay in the north next year, feel free to move Guernsey over. It's not a problem.
Range flights from Stansted Airport, will you?
Yeah, well, happy days. Wherever we need to go, eh?
Yeah, I'd love to go. I mean, I talk to their secretary all the time. Well, not all the time, obviously, but when I bump into him and that, and that's the one go. I used to holiday out there with my parents years and years ago. We used to go out there year after year. And it's a place I'd love to go out and have football out there. So my dream is like an FA Cup tie or an FA Trophy tie away. But unfortunately, it hasn't happened yet. Maybe next year.
What is the... this is a question. I know Ray sort of explained it on numerous occasions. But the only thing I can never get my head around, and I know there's a lot of people say to me they don't understand... with our league and leagues sort of at our level as well, is when we get a side that is given a reprieve, why is it the side that have not done well, shall we say, that year that get the reprieve and not the team maybe in the division below that may have lost in a playoff final or finished second that don't get the promotion?
Where shall I start? The simple answer to that is that historically that's what we've always done. And it's always, and I've got to say in the past I have personally said when I was league secretary and that sort of thing, you support the clubs who are already in membership of your league. Because, you know, Harlow Town have an unfortunate season. You know, they finish in the bottom three, but there's a reprieve available. You have a duty to your club to do the best for that club.
And we've seen what's happened with Wroxham this season to show that, you know, you can have one bad season and then suddenly, albeit with a change of management and players, that, you know, things can be transformed.
Yeah, very much so. I know that they're a really good example. So you want to be shown, and you know, as a league, we are, the league is constituted of 72 clubs. They are a member club. The flip side of that is, and I think where we're looking perhaps going to, I mean, it's certainly right to say that people are asking the question, should we be supporting from the benefit of the league as a whole and the benefit of the 24 clubs in that division, are we better off having an additional club from step five coming up if there's a reprieve available? So it's not a reprieve, it actually opens up additional promotion places. Now, I've got to say that I'm sort of changing my viewpoint in stepping back and saying, well, maybe we have to look at it and say, and not just at step four to five, but at every step, isn't it better that if a club finishes in a relegation position, that they get relegated? So everybody knows where they are, and we don't have what the non-league show calls the AGM Cup every year, which means that people are, they don't know where they're going to be. And are we better off saying, well, sorry, you finished in the bottom two, you're now relegated? And if unfortunately, and if we do seem to get too often every year, clubs such as last year with Salisbury and that sort of thing, if that happens, we'll give a benefit to a club on the up. And I think as a league, personally, and it's not a view that I can only give you my personal view, is that I think that there are sometimes very much so that you want to give the club that is clamouring to better itself, you want to give them a forum rather than the club that's had that chance and not succeeded. But as I say, it's very difficult. It's a very fine balance.
And I suppose you'll get a lot of opposition from the Step 5 leagues as well. I mean, you know, take the Essex Senior League, for example, where you've got Haringey Borough, who are running away with it at the moment. But you've got Barking trying to hang on to their coattails. They both applied to go up this season. And with respect to the Essex Senior League, my own point of view is it's not a very strong league. So, you know, if you're losing one big club, then if you get perhaps one club in return, then it's not too bad for the Essex Senior, but if you have two clubs go up, that might lead to a huge drain of quality in the league, and then you'll have the league chairman and you'll have the league committee of the Essex Senior League, as an example, who are quite resistant to two clubs going up. So then there'd be a bit of conflict between the two, between the Ishmin and the Essex Senior League, as an example.
I think what has to be said is that the Step 5 and 6 leagues are totally supportive of their club and they want more promotion places.
I think most of them are happy that teams have gone on to progress and do well out of their league.
Sure. The pressure is coming from the 5 and 6 leagues. So, you know, whilst I can't speak for individual leagues, the pressure comes from, I mean, there is a Step 5 and 6 review group and they meet with representatives of those levels, and the pressure for more promotion places comes from them. The Step 5 leagues would like to have playoffs. But it's virtually impossible.
That'd be impractical. With all the number of divisions there are, yeah. It'd be a nightmare trying to sort that out.
But I think the other point of that is that the Step 5 leagues are more likely to give you two clubs if they're guaranteed to get one back. At the moment, they're not getting anything back, so they're not getting fresh blood. So you saw last year, Erith and Belvedere, sad to see that they didn't survive. Got relegated, but look how well they're doing in the Southern Counties East this season, and they could well come back to us. The great thing is within the National League system, we've got guaranteed return. If you win the league, you will get promoted. And that's what I think is the great thing that's certainly developed over my time in football. I mean, when I first came into the Isthmian League as a club secretary, you know, we had, what, two divisions and there was no guarantee. You had to know people and you had to be elected into the Ryman League. I remember Farnborough Town at that time when they first came into us, they produced a big booklet that said on the outside of it, "Can we come in?" And I've still got that in my archives, you know. But that's what clubs had to do. Whereas now, you win if Haringey Borough win the Essex Senior League, that they've got their E grade, they'll get promoted.
Yeah, that's it. They know where they stand, so it makes life so much easier for them and everybody concerned.
Yeah.
How much? I mean, on grading. I mean, how much harder does that make it for you guys as well? If teams, you know, don't actually reach their grading. You know, how hard is that for you then to say, well, look, I'm sorry, but this is what the situation is and you've got to go down the league or whatever the actual punishment as such?
Well, it's simple, really, yeah. Isn't it? I mean, everybody knows the rules. The difficulty comes if we don't apply the rules. Yeah. The difficulty comes if somebody comes along and you know, doesn't make the grade and somebody says, oh, well, never mind, you know, you haven't got 500 seats, don't worry, we'll still let you go with 450. Because everybody who's got 500 seats says, hold on, we've got 500 seats, they're supposed to. It's about consistency, yeah. It's about being fair and applying, it's about having a fair criteria and applying it fairly. And I think so long as we do that, we can't be criticised.
I think I heard that from, I think it's not next season, but the season after, they're changing the inspection period. I think it's now, is it every year, I think they'll have to, Step 5 clubs will have to have a grading or something like that?
No, the current grading lasts for 3 years.
It's usually 3 years, isn't it? I thought they were reducing that to 1 year.
Not that I know of.
Oh, okay. Maybe I've got some more news, or maybe I'm just barking up the wrong tree. But back to the research, I think, for the next time.
Well, listen, we're going to go to another news and some adverts. We're going to be back with the legend that is Mr. Matt Letizia.